Two guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. A podcast about American craft beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters.
Hello, and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast. A weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. I'm your host this week. This is Chris in Dallas, Texas. And joining me, as always, is...
Welcome. I'm Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
And this is Toby from Las Vegas, Nevada. Springing into action. Get it?
And that's right. This week's show is all about spring releases. We're going to start it out with Dogfish Head's Apra Hop. I'll move into some hop topics. And then, Mike, what do you got this week?
Ooh, what I have this week is from Otter Creek, and it is their spring ale. It's a Kolsch-style ale.
Nice.
I think it has any special
Toby,
cool
how about
names.
You?
I'm trying Deschutes, their NWPA. It's the red chair. It's their spring release, their new spring release.
Wow.
Not to be confused with those gangsta rappers from Compton. This is the NWPA.
Oh.
This is the... Never mind.
I was going to say.
we'll just stay away from that
Something
one.
Something with...
for my tasting flight this week, I am trying New Belgium's Mighty Arrow.
Yeah.
Toby knows that one very well.
It's a good one. Yep.
Then we'll roll into the tweet.
It's
get a little bit of backwash. We actually got quite a bit of backwash this week.
Yeah.
From somebody other than Crazy Dave.
Yes. It's true.
And then we'll go into our last call and wrap it up for the week. You guys got anything else you want to say, or can we start drinking some beer?
I'd like to say that I'd like to drink some beer.
I'd like to say I just got back from San Diego and I got a whole crap load of beer.
Sweet.
Wheat.
Let's drink some.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna drink some beer. Yeah. Since the fermentation conversation.
Alrighty, folks.
Landshark.
For our fermentation conversation this week, we are trying Dogfish Head's Apra Hop. This is from Dogfish Head Brewing.
Hop.
I think it's like a potato kind of thing.
Okay.
Well, how would you say apricot?
Apricot.
Apricot.
Oh, I don't say apricot. You guys are weird. This is Dogfish Head Brewing out of Milton, Delaware. Website is www.dogfishhead.com. This is...
I thought it was Dogfish Head.
I think it's just dogfish.com.
No. What did I say? Dogfish Head?
Yeah.
My bad. Dogfish.com. And it's Dogfish Head, not Dogfish Head.
It's Dogfish.
It's Dogfish. The style is an IPA brewed. It's an IPA brewed with real apricots. But actually, I think for a little more in-depth description, we'll throw to our friend Sam Caglioni from Dogfish Head Brewery.
Hello, welcome to today's quick sip clip. Today we're going to be talking about Apra Hop, our spring seasonal. The snow is literally melting off the ground outside the brewery here as I talk about this beer. So this is a beer that's available in the spring from Dogfish. It was basically our way of saying, since we've been brewing it since like 97, 98, of we want to make a fruit beer for people who hate fruit beers. In other words, a beer that's way more hop forward, and the fruit component is basically just accentuating the citrusy notes of the Northwest hops that we do use in this beer. It's fairly big. It's 7% ABV. And this is one beer that quite candidly kind of got away from us in recent years, in that it did get a little sweeter subsequent years after we started making it. And this year, which is 2010, yeah, that's this year, we actually tried to get this back to its original more hoppy form, a little less malty, and really so the hops are only, or the fruit is most apparent in the aroma, and again it's just bringing up that nice pungent citrusy grassy notes of the Northwest hops. So find April Hop in these gorgeous green and orange four packs anywhere you shop for Dogfish Head, and keep drinking the good stuff.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, buddy.
That was nice of him to drop in on the podcast like that.
Yeah.
Sam's a
good to hear from him again.
Good guy.
We're looking at an ABV of 7.0%. IBUs of 30, which are actually a little low, I would think. You know?
For a Dogfish Head.
And for an India Pale Ale from Dogfish Head.
Right, right.
Ingredients, really the only thing I could find is that they use Amarillo hops and obviously some apricots, potato, potato. Interesting note, I think they made some adjustments to this year's recipe. I think they tried to tone down the sweetness a little bit by pulling out some of the apricot, I believe. Yeah. Rate beer rating of 87 out of 100. Beer Advocate users give it a B+. Alstrom Brothers also give it a B+.
Wow.
And with no further ado,
cracker B+. I'll be the judge.
Will you now?
Oh, I got actually a whiff of pine when I opened it.
Yes, I concur.
You conifer.
So the color is a nice amber. Golden amber color.
Little cloudy.
Ooh.
Mine's not really cloudy.
Mine's
a little
ambery.
Bit. There's some bubbles in there.
Getting mucky.
I got about
my bubbles stopped.
Two fingers.
About 2.5 fingers ahead.
Oh. Nice fluffy off-white head.
Really nice hop aroma.
It's a nice hop aroma, but it's not overly hoppy.
Yeah, the apricot is definitely there.
Yeah, it's almost. It's kind of weird to have that hop and apricot apricot.
I think it works pretty well together. Yeah. I think the okay. sense with the because
I
mean, hops
it.
Tend to have a fruity, citrusy aroma to them, and so obviously an apricot being a fruit have a fruity aroma.
It smells like dried apricot. Like there's a dried apricot floating in my beer.
Which would be a horrible garnish.
I love the smell.
Like, yes, could I have my
hell is that in
IPA
my
with an apricot garnish?
All right.
I'm going to take a sip.
Taking a sip, yeah!
It's been a while since I've had this beer. This is a very tasty beer.
This is the first time I've had this, actually. And that's probably the first, I think, I've had with a... I don't know, this kind of... It's a little bit
of bitterness.
Yeah.
It's got like a hop bitterness, and it ends with that really big apricot. I thought it was going to be a lot more syrupy by the smell. I was like, yeah, this is probably going to be real syrupy, but it's actually not. It's kind of clean.
And I think in previous years, it may have been.
Yeah, I think they did a good job of kind of dialing the fruitiness back. It's got kind of a little bit of a toasted floral taste to it, too.
Yeah, there's a good bready maltiness to it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely some bready kind of notes in there with the... Like, when I'm drinking it, I'm thinking of kind of like apricot pulp.
Yeah.
You know?
It's got that good dry finish. It's got that bitterness that kind of... It gives it a good dry finish, I think.
Oh, wow, this is good.
This is definitely one of the better fruit beers out there, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And if this was actually in the fruit category, this would be right up there with the top, I think. Or like Sam said, it's a, you know, fruit beer for people who don't like fruit beers. So yeah. I think he kind of nailed it.
Take another whiff. There's a, it kind of gets like a deep richness, almost like a kind of a stinky maltiness is in there.
Yeah. There's a very kind of a dampness to the hop smell in the beginning. And I'm kind of getting that in the taste as well. And the carbonation is less than I was expecting, I think.
Yeah, if you were to compare this to, say, the Pyramid Apricot Ale,
yeah,
this has a better kind of hoppiness to it and a better bitterness. And
yes.
And like, Mike, what you just said, it has less carbonation. I think that if you were to try the Pyramid, it would be way more carbonated and almost like a... like a cooler, you know, like kind of like a wine cooler.
Exactly. Yeah, it'd be like, you know, like a, exactly like a cooler, like a crisp, you know, biting into a really fresh apricot. Right.
Yeah.
Like, and this, you know, it's like biting into a like super fresh ice cold apricot versus biting into a ripe,
right,
really good, flavorful.
There's going to be more sugars and. Yeah,
apricot. Right, right.
A big difference, for sure.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Decent lacing on it, too.
If I were going to pair this with anything, I'm thinking maybe like some grilled salmon with like some blood orange, something like that, I think would go pretty well with this.
Yeah, seafood would definitely be up there at the top of the list as far as...
I could see seafood.
Like a, you know, it'd be good as like a grilled shrimp taco.
Ooh.
Yeah, be a good one too.
Nice. Well, Chris had grilled shrimp tacos, and I thought first thing I thought of after that was fish tacos.
Yeah,
but I don't know if fish.
Well,
tacos
you just came
work.
From San
Maybe.
Diego, so
yeah,
you got fish tacos
fish
on the
tacos
brain.
On the brain.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I'll stick with fish tacos. I think maybe it would go good if you put maybe some hot sauce in it, so like some hot salsa in it with this. I think might actually work.
Awesome. You guys want to move on to some hop topics?
Hop tockets.
Hop topics.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
Hibbitibbit.
Hop topics. Top picks. Mike, what you got?
Talk picks.
What do I got? I got something from PRWeb.com, and the title is Craft Beer Meets Web 2.0 with launch of BreweryFans.com.
Are we past Web 2.0 by this time?
Yeah, I think we should be. Maybe like 2.5 or 3. Anyway, America's craft brewing industry has more than 1,400 microbreweries, and craft beer consumption has grown tremendously in recent years, now accounting for $7 billion in total beer sales.
$7 billion?
That's right. In order to continue this growth, craft beer enthusiasts have long needed a solution to easily determine where specific brewery brands and styles are available to purchase. Enter BreweryFans.com, a new website using Google Map mashups, YouTube integration, and a built-in social network for beer geeks to connect and find where to purchase craft beer from distributor data entered on the site. I wanted to mention this because before the show, we actually went on the site and became fans and kind of got to check it out a little bit. And it's very much in its infancy, I would say.
Yeah.
We did join, and it looks like it definitely has some potential. But Chris, I wanted to ask kind of your opinion on just a few minutes that we actually got to peruse the site and check it out.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't play around with it a whole lot, but you know, it's a good idea, I think. As with any site like this, any social media site or sort of user created content site, you're limited in its infancy to how much time your users put into it. So in order for it to be successful, you need the user input.
Yeah.
So where does that...
You have to have kind of a band of guinea pigs to kind of dive in.
Yeah. Yeah, you need those people to sort of get involved in it at the at its infancy. And you know, I think it's still young enough that it's hard to determine whether or not that's going to... That's going to happen or not. So,
like you,
maybe... But so far, I mean, it's got good stuff. I didn't get to mess around with the beer locator tool too much.
I've never had good luck with any beer locator tools. I'm going to say that right now.
Yeah, like we had talked about a few weeks ago. We had talked about that Android app, the Beer Cloud.
Yeah.
I don't know if we talked about it or if
I mentioned it, I think, maybe last call or something on one episode.
Right.
And I had
There's the Beer
it.
Cloud
and it's,
app.
It's not that great. And it's a shame.
Because... it'll find... The tough thing is like, you know, the stuff... What you really need those apps for are the small, inaccessible beers that you can only find at certain places. You don't need it for the bigger stuff that's available everywhere.
Right. I don't need to know where I can find Sierra Nevada or even Stone.
Where I can find Arrogant Bastard, you know, because I can find that just about anywhere. And that's the problem with these sites. It's like, okay, well, you've put all of the bigger things in there.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, but that's not what I need it for. I need to be able to find the smaller, you know, one-off type releases or, you know, interesting stuff that we wouldn't normally find.
Toby, just so you don't feel left out, we beer buddied you, so you have to respond.
Right,
to
saw that in my inbox when I first got on.
Check it out.
Beer Advocate actually has a beer locator feature on each one of their beers. The only problem with that is hardly anybody ever uses it. I try and use it as much as possible.
That's the problem with all of these. Yeah.
Again, it's the same thing where you have a user-generated content, so to speak, where you rely on your users in order to be accurate and keep up. And if people aren't using it, then it's a perpetual cycle. You know, I'm not going to use it because I can't find what I need to find. So I'm not going to go on there and put my stuff on there because, you know, I don't use it.
What they really need is a website that's just strictly a database for all the wholesalers and where they send the beers. And just kind of, like a file maker type database where it's like I type in this beer. I know who distributes it and where it goes.
Arrived at this store on this day, and it was this many cases, and it's down. You know, it could go by SKU. You know, it's
that really like secret inside information?
It's. I think it's more complicated than you think. Like I was talking to somebody here locally that does the beer buying for this store, and I forget what the beer was, but they had been waiting for it to come in, and basically.
Abraham?
The distributor said, well, it was on a truck and now we don't know where it is. And it's like, well, you know, very classic. Well, it fell off the back of a truck.
I expect that to happen
back where Mike is, but not out here.
Anyway, that's my hub topic for this week. Check it out if you get a chance, PR Web. And if you get a chance, join breweryfans.com. There's not a lot of people on there right now. And it would definitely benefit the site to have more people join and become friends and, you know, do the quizzes and the forums and all that type of stuff. So check them out.
Another thing I don't like about the site is it assigns you a username. It doesn't allow you to pick your own.
At all. You got to be able to pick your own username.
So,
and by the way, I'm like Mike_2, which is
And I think I'm Chris_2 as well, or something like that.
Maybe one. Maybe you're the only Chris. Maybe there's one other Mike. That's why I'm _2.
No, I was something like that.
But
yeah.
Anyway, Toby, what
actually?
You got?
Yeah, I am Chris_2.
Nice.
The second Chris.
It's a 2.0.
So, anyway, Toby, what you got?
I am Chris II. Well, I wanted to talk about Firestone Walker and their upcoming... Well, actually, it just came out. It's their very first seasonal beer. Go figure. Whoa. Firestone Walker. Huge out of California. They own multiple number of breweries. And this is their first seasonal beer that they've, well, it's their first seasonal beer, and now they're bottling it. And it just came out on April 1st of 2010.
Telling you, man. Here it comes.
It's called Solace. And they haven't really put a style on it. The brewmaster, Matt Brynildsen, he said it's an unfiltered fusion of a Hefeweizen and a Belgian Saison. It's got hints
I'm telling you, man, once the Saisons start getting out there and people realize what it is, it's going to be a huge summer beer.
Yeah.
Yep.
They just go on to say it has subtle hints of banana and clove and, you know, characteristic fruity esters produced by the Belgian yeast, you know.
I think it sounds really interesting.
It comes in around 6% ABV, and they say that it's a very sessionable beer. Great
sessionable.
For, you know, springtime.
Like beer coaster word.
Yeah, it does. They've been listening to the show.
Nice.
So look for it. You can go to firestonewalker.com if you want to find out more information about the Firestone Solace. And yeah, I thought it would be fitting because it's a spring release. And it's our spring show.
Hey, yay! Spring!
Mine comes from...
Is it on this planet, at least, I hope?
Yes, okay. From the Chicago Sun-Times. The title of the article is Special Beer Sold Only One Day a Year.
Whoa.
So this beer can only get it once every year. The beer is called The Dark Lord. And it's made by Three Floyds Brewing Company.
I must have it.
Out of Munster, Indiana.
Yeah,
and
good
so basically
luck.
What they do is they make this, it's a Russian Imperial Stout. They only make it available one day a year on April 24th, which they call Dark Lord Day. It's $15 for a 22-ounce bottle, which, according to the article, they're like, you know, $15 for a bottle of beer, which, you know, as we know, isn't really that much.
In comparison to some other stuff, yeah.
Yeah. I get excited when I see an $8 bottle of beer. Sometimes I'm like, whoa, it's only $8.
I'm just wondering like the cost of flights to Indiana right now, like what they're going for.
Yeah. So the way that they do this is this year anyway, they announced it on their Twitter account, and within an hour... all of the golden tickets had been given away through their website.
I've got a golden ticket.
And I think they said, let me see how many. I think it's 7,000 tickets.
Wow.
So the fact that 7,000 people hit this site,
whoa,
and it completely crashed their site, of course. And everybody was upset and that they couldn't get in and all that stuff.
That's
but
silly.
That's
yeah,
a big
know.
Deal.
I know.
Talk about creating.
Dude, people camp out and they wait in line for days.
Yeah, but
for iPads. I think there's a YouTube
Three
clip.
Floyds
that you can
like
look
the
at.
Apple of beers or what? We're going to come out with this product and it's going to be released this day and everybody's going to stay
well,
in line.
Well, think about
for
it. I mean, Pliny the Younger.
Well.
You know, yeah. It just came out, and it was a very limited release, and
but
people
see,
were...
that wasn't so... You know, I used to get that at O'Brien's, and it wasn't, like, a big thing, and, like, they created this big kind of buzz around. I don't know if maybe it was that particular year's recipe or what the deal was, but, I mean, I think it's a phenomenal
they just...
beer, but...
Now, I will say this Three Floyds Dark Lord Day... It's not just, you know, you get the golden ticket and you go down and you pay $15 and pick up your bottle. There is a festival involved and,
yeah.
And there's, you know, there's bands that play and it, you know, it is a sort of a beer festival. So
you
it's not.
Go see the beer river and the beer candy trees and.
If only.
Special tap room.
Beer candy trees.
Charlie and the Brewery.
Yeah.
Hmm. Anyway, now that we're back in reality, so yeah, the Dark Lord Day in Munster, Indiana. Check it out. next year because you ain't getting it this year.
Yeah. Suckers.
Suckers.
Because I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden twinkle in my eye.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one. Taking a piss, yeah.
Yes, it's my time. My personal beer tasting time with my spring release. My spring release this week is Otter Creek. It is their spring release, and it is called Spring Ale. Very original.
Ooh, creative.
Yes. Yeah. It is a German style Kolsch ale. It is from Otter Creek Brewery out of Middlebury, Vermont. Their website is ottercreekbrewing.com. Nothing was available. ABV wasn't available. The IBUs, it's a Kolsch ale, and they range, in general, they range anywhere from 4 to 6% ABV. Not sure what this one is.
It's not even on the bottle?
No, it's not on the bottle. Not on the website.
Hey, I said that was law.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, did you now?
Rate Beer rates this 35 out of 100. Beer Advocate users rate this a B, and the Allstrom Brothers rate this a B plus. I did find out that they use 2-row malt and malted wheat, and hopped with Tetnang and Liberty hops. And on that note, I'm gonna crack it.
Crack it.
Yeah. It's cool. Like they're labels that they've got right.
Sound. Didn't sound good. It was like a silent hop. Well, I will say right off the bat that Kolsch ales are not my favorite style. Oh, take that with a grain of salt with my review here.
I don't think it would taste good with a grain of salt.
Well, you never know.
Well, maybe one grain.
So it pours a very, very yellow. We're talking like Pilsner, Lager, Kolsch, yellow.
Kind of a Kolsch-y yellow.
That's very Kolsch-y. It's
Dude, they're giving away a battery-powered lawnmower on their website.
Nice.
This is probably a lawnmower beer.
America's number one battery-powered lawnmower.
Wow. The smell has kind of a...
Still a podcast about lawnmowers.
A breadiness. It's a kind of a sweet breadiness, but not like a really rich bread, more like a... Oh, maybe like a
Wonder Bread,
cracker or something. This beer smells like flowers and crackers. So maybe there is some salt in there. I'm going to take a sip.
All crackers are made with flour, right? Taking a sip. Yeah.
Tasting some metallic-iness.
Metallic-y, yeah.
And some sweetness. There's like a really sweet, weedy maltiness that is honestly not that palatable. It's got a sweet, malty aftertaste. It's very light. There's not much going on. I'm trying to kind of see if I can detect something else in the nose, but not happening. Let's get to... Oddly enough, it has kind of a similar carbonation to what the Aprahop had. It's not a lot of carbonation. I wouldn't even say this has a dry finish because there's kind of a malt that just kind of sits there on the tongue. If I were going to pair this with anything, maybe...
sits on the tongue, yeah!
I think maybe like a fried chicken, like at a picnic or something, this beer might... Be okay.
Little, some of the kernels own.
Yeah. A little KFC.
Well, when you were saying, you know, flowers and crackers. And I mean, the first thing that came to my mind was picnic. Yeah. And
I think this is definitely a picnic beer. And
that gets a half a point right there.
Yeah.
Of a pint.
Oh, it might actually get a little bit of a rating then.
Oh, it's Irish. It'd be half a point.
Half a point. That's right. Fried chicken and a half a point. But I would say it's a fairly decent interpretation of the style. But I don't know, like I said, I'm not that fan of a Kolsch. But anyway, that's it. Otter Creek, spring release. German style Kolsch. Get your battery powered lawnmower.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we? All right, so today I am trying the Red Chair NWPA from Deschutes Brewery out of Bend, Oregon. They've been brewing since 1988. If you've been a long-time listener of the
Nerdy
podcast,
White People Ale.
That's what it is! Nerdy White People. You got it. So if you've listened to the podcast, you heard a bunch
of nerdy white people.
Podcasts back, I mentioned the new spring release from Deschutes replacing the Cinder Cone Red, which was their other spring release.
Man,
now this is their new one.
That was your first beer.
The Cinder Cone
Red
was pretty good. That was my very first beer on episode number one of the Beer Coasters podcast.
Nice.
Which not many people can say that they've heard it.
True.
So this is their new spring season.
There aren't many people that can say they've heard any of our episodes, but that one in particular even less. Nice.
It actually stands for Northwest Pale Ale. They also have a Red Chair IPA, which you can find in 22-ounce bombers. Now, this one I was only able to find in the 12-ounce six-packs, which I believe is all they make for now, or on draft. So, like I said, this is Deschutes Brewing Company. Their flagship beer would be the Mirror Pond. I think you've seen that before. I'm cracking it. You can find them at deschutesbrewery.com, which is DeschutesBrewery.com. Style is an American pale ale with 6.4% ABV, 60 IBUs, which I think is right around the very nice range. You can find this from January to April. And an interesting note, I already said it replaced the Cinder Cone Red, blah, blah, blah. Deschutes Brewery actually has a brew pub in Portland, Oregon in the Pearl District. But it opened in 08, and I didn't know that they had another brew pub other than Bend, Oregon. So it's pretty cool. The ingredients it uses is 7 select European and domestic malts. Couldn't find any of the hops that they used. With a rate beer rating of 91 out of 100, the Beer Advocate users gave it an A-. And I found this on tastings.com. They gave it a 91 out of 100, which means exceptional.
Whoa.
So upon pour, I got about almost 3 fingers of head.
I have a Mike I've been there story. Portland, sure. Oregon.
Yeah.
No, I did. I spent some time up there. We went to visit some family. And I made a point to say that as long as I'm up here, I'm going to try nothing but Oregon beers. And I did that the whole time. And
nice.
Man, there's some good...
Did you try the Nerdy White People?
No, I didn't. although I don't even think it was there. But I've had the Mirror Pond. And from Deschutes, I think one of my favorites is the Obsidian Stout. And the Black Butte Porter, of course, is good too. But I think the Obsidian Stout's one of their best.
So the color is a nice kind of an orangish red color, slightly cloudy, not very many bubbles. The head is retaining fairly nicely. On the nose, there's kind of a grassy
knoll,
almost like a stinky maltiness.
Stinky malts.
Yeah, it's almost like like sweaty, kind of like a sweaty maltiness with this kind of grassy hop.
Well, it says right here undertone. On the website that they filter the malts through sweaty gym socks. Oh yeah. Could be.
There you go.
Could be part of the reason.
Nerdy white people's gym socks.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take a sip.
Those have got to be the worst. Survey says.
It's got kind of a nice, it's a decent mouthfeel. It's almost watery, but there's a nice kind of piney hop in there with a little bit of kind of a sweet fruit character also. So whatever hops they use kind of gave it a little bit of a fruitiness and a nice pininess too. But yeah, not much body. It's actually kind of watery.
And compare it to the cinder cone.
Oh, geez.
You remember? I know it was it's been almost a year since I've had the
cinder cone. Well,
in a podcast far, yeah, I can't, far away.
Back in the day when
I'd have to listen back. It actually, I mean, it's pretty drinkable. It ends with a nice kind of dry finish with a little bit of bitter hopness. It's got great head retention and the lacing is excellent. Yeah, but I've had this before and I don't remember it being this a small body.
Oh, well, it could have a lighter body. I mean, you finished with the Dogfish Head too. You know, so in comparison.
It's got good flavor. It's actually not too bad. It's an easy drinking. It's definitely a pale ale. I mean, you know, the difference between this and the Red Chair IPA would probably be the IPA's got a lot more hoppiness, obviously. It's not too bad.
What about food?
You're going to pair it?
I think this would be great with some, like, a greasy cheeseburger. Or, you know, cheeseburger nice. And some, like, seasoned fries. I think this is good, like, pub grub beer. It's easy drinking. It's not going to kick your butt. It's got some decent flavor to it.
Not like the greasy burger would anyway.
Right. Yeah, so I'm going to go with cheeseburger and fries on that one.
Cheeseburger and fries. You can cool. never That's go the, wrong with that.
Red Chair NWPA. It's their seasonal from Deschutes Brewery out of Bend, Oregon.
And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
All right. For my tasting flight this week, I am drinking the New Belgium Mighty Arrow.
It's mighty.
This is from New Belgium Brewing out of Fort Collins, Colorado. Website is www.newbelgium.com. This is a pale ale. ABV of 6%, IBUs of 35. They use Amarillo and Cascade hops.
Ooh.
Rate beer rating of 90 out of 100. Beer Advocate users give it a B+. And Allstrom Brothers got nothing.
That's because here in Massachusetts, we don't get no New Belgium. And that ain't cool. You hear me, Colorado? You hear me?
And that sound was me cracking it open.
True.
I mean, Colorado's fault. I'm sure it's Massachusetts' fault.
Yeah, Massachusetts and their stinking.
We don't want your New Belgium.
Crazy
rules. What you got?
So on the pour.
You got that mighty arrow.
Pretty golden. Golden. Bubbly. I got about a finger of head. Fluffy.
Like, yeah, I'm just gonna hang out here for a while.
Get some nice citrusy hops.
That was my head talking.
A little bit of the kind of dank maltiness.
Dank. Ooh, that's new.
Dank.
That's new on the Beer Coasters podcast. That's dank.
I'm dank. Some dank maltiness, yo.
See it.
That's from like high school, wasn't it? Like one of those things, like when people say that's bunk, be like, that's dank.
Dank.
I don't remember that.
No?
No. That's bunk, Toby. So it's a very clean beer. A nice, clean, crisp flavor. Yeah. Kind of a...
That was bad.
A sweet maltiness kind of on the edges of the tongue.
Perhaps a fruit you're detecting in there somewhere?
No.
No?
No. Sorry, should I be?
You're not picking up any apricot?
No. Because this...
Think about it.
...would not be the apricot.
No, Chris.
It's not.
Think about it.
Think about it.
Taste and think.
That's what we do here.
Yeah, I'm not getting any apricot.
We do that.
Apricot.
No apricot?
No.
Every week. You taste and think.
No, some nice malty notes and the hops. It's a relatively low IBU, so it doesn't taste like they used very much hops in the bittering of it. It's not bad. This would be a really good session beer. It's very drinkable and very refreshing. It doesn't stand out in any way. Not bad, though.
Flowers on the website. Do they actually brew with any kind of flour?
I don't think so. No. They do brew. It says they use a honey malt base, which I get a little bit of honey.
No apricot.
No apricot. Why do you keep asking me apricot?
Because when I had it on in my kegerator, that was one of the flavors that I got out of it. And I was like, every time I had it, I was like, man, there's this apricot, like fruity apricotness in the background. It wasn't like, nothing like the apricot, of course. It wasn't that obvious, but there was always this, I don't know. That's just what I picked out of the Mighty Arrow. Mm. From a year ago, so that's why I was asking.
I don't know. I mean, maybe because I just had the apricot that it. I'm just not getting any of that out of this.
Right.
That could be why I don't really taste it.
It was almost like whatever hop they used, whatever kind of fruity hop that they used, to me, tasted like apricot. But then again, so did the Vertical Epic 08-08-08. It had very apricotiness to it.
You know what this tastes like?
No.
You ever I in San Diego we used to have these little plants, these little honeysuckle plants. And when we were kids, we used to take the flowers and pick them off and kind of suck the honeysuckle out. That's what this tastes like. Yeah. It's got that sweet honeyness, but not the not like the really syrupy sticky honey, but more of like a sweet liquidy. If that makes sense honeysuckle. To you,
yeah.
Yeah, more like a honeysuckle than a traditional honey. Very flowery.
Yeah.
No. Sense. Yeah, if I was gonna pair this, I think I'd probably go with a really good crisp spring type salad. Something with like a spring mix of different lettuces and a light vinaigrette.
Some arugula.
Yep. I think would go really well with this.
Ford 20 says, my art school skills went to great use with my beer invite picture I photoshopped together. It's the tweet of the week. Tweet of the week. It's the tweet of the week. Tweet, tweet. Tweet of the week, yeah.
Backwash. Let's check the Beer Coasters email and hotline. Yeah.
Alrighty. Welcome to our backwash segment of our weekly podcast. I'm pretty stoked this week. Email. We actually got some backwash from people we don't know. No Crazy Dave this week, but some other people.
I hope he's okay.
The first one.
And
that,
even a chick.
We got, Man. Yeah, chick. is from Sean from the Tilting Suds beer blog, which if you haven't had a chance to check it out, it's actually a really cool beer blog. It's tiltingsuds.wordpress.com. And he said, and this is in reference to our fruity issue, which was a while back that we did this. He said, just finished listening to the Dogfish Head portion of the podcast, in which we did the raison d'etre. I don't know who said to match the raison with Asian food, but that is a kick-ass pairing, which I may try this weekend. So, thanks, Sean. I also wanted to bring up just a quick thing from him. I'm gonna borrow just a quick little thing from his website, because he actually just reviewed the Dogfish Head Aprihop just recently on his site. So I was just going to take a piece of that. It says, this is a hoppy mofo, and the hops are balanced perfectly by the addition of apricots to the wort. If you think about the taste of apricots with the combination of sweetness balanced by the tart bitterness, it is similar to beer, and I predict that apricots and hops will one day be a classic combination on par with stout and oysters, peanut butter and jelly, and Duke men's basketball, and me being pissed off every spring.
Nice.
Which I'm betting he isn't saying right now, considering Duke just won. So,
yeah.
I'm sure he'd love to hear that.
But thank you very much, Sean. We really appreciate it.
That was Toby, I think, that paired it up with the Asian food. So
I believe that it was, yeah.
Was it?
Oh, wow. John, that was Toby. Super sweet. If you're listening. Our next...
I paired it with something other than a sandwich.
Or a burger.
Or a burger. Pub grub.
This one comes from Joe Schmo, or I believe the email was Joe a girl. It says, hey, beer coasters. I listened to a few issues, and doing a show on tasting beer with a stuffed up nose was hella funny. You guys have good vibe, and you're funny, especially when beer gets paired with stuff like PB&J. LOL. But if you want backwash, awesome. Here it is. Number one, your website is painfully slow.
Yes.
I couldn't even get on to sign the guest book. You need a kick-ass site to stay competitive, guys. Number two, the show is way too long. Number three, I love good beer. I love drinking and talking about the beer, and it's hella cool to know you guys do too. P.S. Yes, I am a girl, and I love craft beer. Smiley face with a big nose.
So a couple things on that. Yes, we know the site is painfully slow. None of us are web people. And
obviously.
Yeah, obviously. So, but we've actually been... looking at for our 1 year show, which should be coming up very soon.
It's a homebrew website.
Switching to a new provider, and B, a different content creation software in order to create the site. So hopefully that will change a lot. Also, to the second point, the show is way too long.
My fault.
It's Toby's fault. Toby, because
takes
you can't see
5 minutes to open this beer.
we're going to be talking about that as well, and we may be seeing a retooled show on top of just the website with our 1 year anniversary. We have some ideas as to what we want to do to change things up a little bit, and we figure the 1 year is a good time to sort of roll that out. So there are some things that we've been talking about to change it up. Maybe not making it shorter, because I still feel that the 1 hour sort of benchmark is a good one to hit. But making it so it doesn't feel as long would definitely be a bonus. And so we're definitely talking about doing that. Definitely.
Yeah.
But yes, but thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate it. And thank you for
the
backwash.
Thanks, Joe Schmo. And the last bit, comes from Brett. Out of Colorado, he says, hello, coasters. I'm a Welshman living in Colorado. Awesome. What's up, Brett? Ancestors come from Wales, too. That's awesome. He says, I'm a Welshman living in Colorado, and I've been through it. I haven't spent enough time there. I want to go back. Anyway, I'm a Welshman living in Colorado and love the bloody beer out here. I found your show by happenstance and wanted you to know I'm listening and get a kick out of the wee bits in between the tastings. You've done yourselves proud, boys. Keep it up. Nice. Cheers, mates. Brett.
That's awesome. Thank you. That's awesome.
Cool. Thanks, Brett.
Great to hear.
Thank you, Brett.
Fellow Welshman. I'm not actually from Wales, but
I'll tell you the great thing about this backwash segment and you know, getting stuff from people that we don't normally listen to, because we had talked about this some recently where we were just kind of, you know, who's listening? You know, are people actually listening to us every week? I mean, we have an idea of how many people are downloading the show, but it's hard to tell how many people are actually listening on a regular basis versus just one-time downloaders. We think we have a few people that listen on a regular basis, and we really appreciate that. We were kind of trying to figure out, you know, what we wanted to do in regards to, do we want to change it to make it more appealing, or are we trying to concentrate on just doing what we want to do? And I think we sort of wound up on, you know, if we're not doing this and having fun at it, then we shouldn't be doing it. I mean, this is really, right, you know, a great way for us to get together every week and drink some beer and have some fun with it. And, you know, we don't take ourselves too seriously. Of course we take, you know, we have some serious pieces that we like to talk about, but it's, you know, like any conversation and any beer drinking session, you're going to have those in there, but
yeah.
Yeah.
So
for sure. Occasional shit talking.
Yeah. Yeah. Occasional, yeah. Yeah.
Every friggin' segment.
But, you know,
every
on the time other hand, we have Dave chimes been in. Very conscious and paid attention to every little piece of backwash we've gotten. I mean,
absolutely.
Any little thing we've gotten, we've kind of added or taken away from the show since its inception. So, we love backwash. We can't get enough of it.
Obviously. The cool thing is we'll get backwashed and it'll be like, you know, just stuff that we just hadn't thought of, you know, where yeah. It's like, right. Oh yeah, maybe we should do that. You know, like retooling the website and adding the pint ratings sort or of hiring, a list of
hiring the beer jargon guy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know if that'll happen. I'd like to get paid before he does. Speaking of which, we have a little tips thing on our website.
We haven't talked about that for episodes and episodes and episodes.
I mean, I'm not kidding. It's on there, but yeah. We understand. Sure. So, yeah, that's our backwash for this week. You guys have anything else?
No. I mean, no. Thanks, everybody, for the backwash. That's cool.
Sweet.
I'm stoked.
All right. Well, let's move it on out then.
Moving on out to the last call. Finally get some pint ratings here.
Alright everybody, last call.
Last call.
LC, bitches.
Pint ratings, Mike.
Whoa, that was fast.
So, my pint ratings this week are as follows. The Dogfish Head Apricot. 4 pints. I think this is a really good beer. I'm really enjoying it. I love the hop character to it. It's definitely an IPA with the fruit in it. And I haven't tried previous versions, so I don't know, you know, how much sweeter or if it was more syrupy in recent years. But this one was, I think, spot on balance-wise. And for that, I give it 4 pints. the Otter Creek Spring Release, I don't think it's any surprise to anybody. I didn't rate this one well. I didn't like it. There wasn't much going on. It had kind of a strange sour wheat kind of... I just didn't like it. I gave it 2 pints, and it's lucky that I gave it that much, to be honest.
Whoa! It's fighting words. So.
Yeah, so take that. Not, and I'm not opposed. I like the brewery. I think they make some good stuff, but man, this just isn't one of them. So that's that.
Toby, how about you?
I'm digging the apricot in the beer. It's kind of like what Sean from Tilting Suds was talking about the next kind of beer flavor. Apricot, I'm digging it. You know, I was talking to Chris in his tasting about the apricot coming out in the Mighty Arrow. He didn't so much pick up on that. Maybe it's different from the recipe from last year, but I also got it in the Vertical Epic 08808 from Stone. I remember that having a nice pronounced apricot kind of flavor in there, undertone, whatever. But I'm digging the apricot with the beer, so I'm going to go 4.5 on the apricot. I really like nice. It. It's tasty. It's got a nice hoppiness to it, and it's drinkable at the same time, and it's not too overpowering with the apricot, you know, like when you go to beers like Pyramid's Apricot Ale, where it's just really apricot, like you're drinking just like bubbly apricot cooler, you know, whatever. But on to the Red Chair NWPA from Deschutes. It kind of grew on me. It's drinkable. It ended up becoming a little bit more hoppy towards the end. But, you know, not too bad. It's decent from Deschutes, so I think I'm going to go with 3 pints on that one. I think it's good. It's not great. It's not fantastic. Had some good flavors. But yeah, 3 pints. Cool. Out of 5.
Alright. For my pint ratings, yeah, I feel the same way you guys do about the Dogfish Head Aprihop. I really like that beer a lot. It's very refreshing and just flavorful and not overly sweet and syrupy like, you know, we may have been afraid of when we first opened it. Really enjoyed it. I'm going to give it 4 pints. You know, it's not the best beer I've ever had, but it's good, and it's definitely something I would pick up and drink on a regular basis. For the New Belgium Mighty Arrow, same thing, 4 pints. It's a really good, I can see this as being just a very good session beer. You know, having it in a keg like Toby had would be great. You know, pour you a draft and kick back on the lawn chair, and it would be mighty relaxing with the Mighty Arrow.
There you go.
So, you guys have any individual shout-outs you want to do real quick?
No, I really wanted to thank just our listeners, really, more than anything else. I'm glad that we're getting some feedback and people are listening, and that's cool.
Yep.
Spread the craft beer love.
Yeah.
All over your body. Oh.
check out Brewery Friends. Let me get this right. Breweryfans.com. Check out that website.
Yeah.
That's it.
Wait, Toby, how about you?
DeschutesBrewery.com. Check them out. They're out of Bend, Oregon, and they also have a brew pub in Portland.
Cool. And I'll say dogfish.com for the Aprihop, and newbelgium.com for the Mighty Arrow. And then I also want to throw out one more time the Tilting Suds beer blog, tiltingsuds.wordpress.com.
Thank you, Sean.
Yeah, thanks again, Sean. Just so you know, you can follow us on Twitter. You can go to follow us. Our Twitter name is Beer Coasters Pod. Or you can search for us on Facebook. Just search for the Beer Coasters Podcast. Become a fan.
You can leave us backwash if you'd like. That number is 972-914-8502. Or you can email us at backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. You can leave comments, suggestions, your favorite beer or bar. Let us know. We really, really, really love to hear this stuff, and we want to hear your input, your backwash. Give it to us now.
Yeah. Put it all over our bodies.
Yeah.
Or not.
And you can go to our website, which is beercoasterspodcast.com. There's a bunch of stuff you can do there while you're the website once it loads. You can sign the guest book. You can post your comments for each episode. You'll see a little comment button you can click under each episode. And you can also check on Mondays for the next time on Beer Coasters. It'll tell you what we're drinking next week, and maybe you can
let's
pick
just say maybe
us.
Not Monday. Check sometime during the week,
right. Sometime before Friday.
Sometime before Friday, and you'll see what we're doing on the next show.
After Friday and before Friday.
It doesn't always get up there before then.
Between Saturday and Friday.
Again, subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search for Beer Coasters Podcast and you'll find us. Tell your friends. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Support your local brewery by drinking local, because local's fresh and it's American.
It's American.
That's right.
Drink American.
And don't drink and drive, folks.
Be responsible. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, buddy. Next week, right here on Beer Coasters.
I don't remember that. No. That's bunk, Toby.